Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
WGN, that's right. We're talking about the wacky tobacco, a little bit of marijuana, and what it means to your community in this amazing state that we live in, the beautiful state of Illinois. Stu Weiss is an attorney. He's with the law firm of Holland and Knight here in Chicago. He's also the village attorney and general counsel for a number of cities and villages up on the North Shore and the Northwest suburbs. And Stu specializes in zoning, and he's been counseling municipalities across the state, and he joins us now at 720 WGN. Stu, thank you for taking time.
Yeah, great to be here.
So where are we at right now, Stu? I know come January 1 it's going to be legal, but all these municipalities, the Glencos and the Lake Forests, and I'm sure a bunch of others, are all trying to figure out what this means for their community, and you're kind of on the front lines here. So if you were to, like, just to give a, I don't know, a bird's eye view of where exactly we're at right now, what would you say?
Well, there's a lot of tracks that are moving all at once, and you've got the state figuring out how they're going to regulate all these types of businesses, and then every community has to figure out what is the right fit for them. Cities and villages in Illinois have been given a lot of discretion as to whether they want to allow cannabis businesses within their borders.
Okay, so you know, I feel like we need to start at the beginning. Medical marijuana dispensaries will be the only, and I don't want to get too technical here, but they'll be the only legal sellers of marijuana for recreational use come in January of next year, January 2020. So what does that mean? I mean, are individual suburbs allowed to have a dispensary? Is the state going to make a decision? They're placed there, and this and the a suburb could say has no say in it. How is that going to work?
Yeah, this is really one of the most interesting parts of the law, because you've had these medical dispensaries that have been operating since the medical cannabis program, which was a pilot program that started in 2013. These businesses have been operating in communities all across Illinois. There's about 55 or 56. I can never remember the exact number. And they've been, I don't want to say operating under the radar, but they've been operating in a pretty low-key fashion. There's only about 50,000 registered qualifying patients who use medical marijuana in Illinois, and those facilities that sell to them have been selling pretty quietly, without a lot of problems, without making a lot of noise, and they've been doing it in a way that most of the communities that they're located in barely even notice.
Right. I was going to say, like, we don't even know that they're there. Keep going.
Yeah. So the state looked at these operators and said they're doing a pretty good job. They know how to track their inventory. They know how to run a security system. They know how to vet who should be in the dispensary and who shouldn't. And the decision was made that the first people out of the gate to sell to recreational, and when I say recreational, any adult over the age of 21, it's going to be the same as liquor. So the first people who should be allowed to do this that the state trusted is these people who are currently selling medical cannabis. And so those 55, 56 operators are going to be allowed to sell to the recreational market if the communities that they're in let them. Now, this is kind of a really interesting thing, that when the recreational law was passed, one of the decisions that was made was to let communities make the decision whether they were going to allow recreational cannabis sellers operate in their towns or not. That includes towns that already have a medical dispensary. So you're going to have this weird situation in some communities where you have a medical dispensary that's been operating, that's been a good business in the community, hasn't made any trouble, has been determined by the state to be a good actor, and someone who would be the perfect business to start up this recreational market that they could trust. And they would not be allowed to by local law. And there are some communities where this is happening. In Naperville, for instance, you have a dispensary that has been operating for a number of years, and the Naperville City Council has made a determination that they don't want to let that facility expand to sell to the recreational market. And they're completely within their rights under the law to do that.
So I'm just, and you're an attorney, and you're not in on their business meetings, but if you had to speculate, why would they allow it for medicinal purposes, but now it's going to be recreational? No, we can't have that, when in theory, I would think that Naperville could make a lot of dough off of that.
They could, and I think one of the reasons is that they've looked at problems in other states. They probably heard stories about the fact that Colorado has more dispensaries than it does Starbucks, and it does, actually. It has about 1,000 licensed dispensaries and only 400 Starbucks. They're not counting all, you know, the smaller coffee shops that I'd probably be a patron of. But they're also worried about there being a huge influx of customers and people consuming on their streets in downtown. There's a lot of fear involved because, I mean, we have to admit, this is a big societal shift for us. This is something that for all of our lives has been an illegal prohibited substance. And as of January 1st, it's going to be less controlled than cough medicine with pseudoephedrine. And so I'm not surprised that communities either are deciding to ban this outright or saying maybe we don't need to be the first, maybe we take a year to see what happens, put a moratorium on it, see what happens in other communities. What happened in Naperville, there were some city council members who were leaning towards yes, there were some who were leaning towards no, and a very large crowd came out and made very impassioned statements about what the character of their community is. You can't argue with that to a certain extent. And I think the drafters of the law agreed with that. And they decided that every community would have to make an individual decision as to whether this was going to fit into their community's character.
Okay, but it's legal in the state. So I could, right, use marijuana recreationally at home, and then I can go out to dinner in Naperville, right, and have my steak, lobster, cheeseburger, whatever, and there's nothing illegal about that. So
as long as you didn't drive in an impaired state, no.
Right. So I, like, whatever, my wife or my friend drove me over, or I wasn't
in Uber or Lyft.
Or Uber, right? Uber, Lyft, same thing as drinking. And if you're in Naperville, surrounding suburbs are legal, so they're making the money, and then people are coming into your town. I guess maybe you just don't want them walking around down Main Street. But in this case, we're just talking about a dispensary. We're not even talking about, an actual shop, correct?
Yeah, and that's one of the other distinctions, is that there are some misconceptions about what actually can happen in a dispensary. In a dispensary in Illinois, you can only buy product. You can't consume product in the dispensary. You can't consume it in the parking lot. You can't consume it on the sidewalk. I think that some people may have a misconception that you're going to have pot bars or, the kind of coffee shops, as they call them in Amsterdam, where people would be consuming on premises. And although the Illinois law says that could happen, it would be completely up to the local municipality whether they wanted to allow that or not. And when I've spoken to folks who do my kind of work in Colorado, that type of business, although permitted, has not really turned out to be something that many businesses want to get involved in, for a very simple reason, is that you can't get insurance for it. Every tavern in Illinois has to have dram shop insurance, has to have liability insurance that protects them if someone gets overserved, gets drunk, drives out, gets out on the road and hurts somebody. There's no comparable insurance for cannabis. And so very few places in the U.S. will allow you to actually consume cannabis on premises. And that's getting a little technical, but that's one of the big fears that I think communities have.
Well, that's a huge deal, though, because I think everyone is under the impression that we're going to have these pot bars where smoke's going to be billowing out into the streets, and it's going to, you know, impact somebody just who's, you know, out to eat, and they're like, oh my God, it smells like weed. But you're saying that it's probably not going to look like that. Am I hearing that right?
Yeah, the city of Denver has allowed these types of businesses for the past 3 years. Only two businesses have ever come in to get a permit to operate, and one of them closed. And so you just don't see this as a business model that really any investor wants to take a risk on. They'd rather just sell the product, tell you to go home and enjoy yourself.
So that's what you think it looks like. This is going to be something that's legal, but people are going to go home and they're going to hang in their backyard or whatever in their apartment and get high, and that'll be it. It's not going to be as pervasive as some are worried about.
Well, you know, I tell my clients, I live in the city and I ride the L 3 days a week. And, you know, there's a lot of people on the red line who have not gotten the message that gotten the memo that you can't, that it's not legal yet. So right now, I think there will be a natural increase and probably a spike in public consumption that's going to happen right when it's legalized.
Yep.
But when you look at what's happened in other places like Washington and Oregon and Colorado, after that initial spike, it calms down and people treat it like liquor. If you don't see people, except on certain weekends in Chicago, you don't see people walking around with red Solo cups or bottles and bags.
Right.
That's not a pervasive problem, and especially not one in a lot of the suburbs.
Stu Weiss, attorney with the law firm Holland and Knight, with us here on 720 WGN for a couple more minutes as we process what's coming down with Illinois and the legalization for recreational use of marijuana. So, all right. Beginning, by the way, just so people understand, I just want to get this out there. Beginning in mid-2020, Illinois is going to grant additional license to dozens of new stores, processors, cultivators, transporters. 295 stores are expected by 2022. But when I'm reading that now and listening to you, that just means places where you're going to be able to go and buy it. It's not places that you're going to be able to, you're really going to be hanging out. But let me add this question in, Stu, and I'm a little confused by this. Because if I was an insurance company and I'm insuring a bar, I'd feel a lot more comfortable insuring somebody who's going out to smoke a little bit of weed than somebody who's going into a bar on a Friday afternoon who's had a rough week and is about to have five whiskeys, you know? I mean, if I was an insurance company, like, I'll insure the weed place. How come they won't do it?
And the big answer is the same answer that you can't use a credit card at a dispensary. And these places can't bank with nationally chartered FDIC-insured financial institutions. This product is going to be legal within the state of Illinois. It's not legal under federal government law. And so what that means is that taking any of the product out of state, taking dollars from out of state or across state lines, using services from national firms like insurance companies that are regulated by the federal government, these big financial firms are not getting into this business because the federal government still considers this to be a Schedule I drug, which is highly addictive, according to them, which is on the same schedule as heroin and other hard drugs. And so although your personal experience or the experience of, people throughout the state may find it to be less pernicious than alcohol, right now it's not a business that national financial firms can get into.
So you're telling me that when you're going into a store in 2020, you're going to have to pay with cash?
As of right now, yes.
Wow.
All these dispensaries are cash-only businesses. Some dispensaries actually will have ATMs on their sales floor. Someone will go withdraw cash, turn around, walk 5 paces, sit down with a purchasing agent, give them the cash. I don't believe the cash goes back into the ATM. But and then that cash is then put into vaults and safes, along with all the inventory as well. These dispensaries are built out kind of like currency exchanges. They have reinforced walls. They have rooms that are basically vaults with safes inside them where they keep their cash, and they also keep all their inventory at night.
Wow. Okay. Here, let's wrap up with Chicago. And Mayor Lori Lightfoot is introducing tomorrow, there's an ordinance to establish Chicago's first zoning regulations for the sale of adult-use cannabis. So the ordinance is going to establish 7 cannabis zones across the city. What do we know about this, Stu? I mean, what is she trying to do?
Well, what I think she's trying to do is she's trying to figure out a rational way to keep a lid on the number of these dispensaries and also make sure that they're distributed throughout the city. And the mayor has made it a priority to ensure that underinvested or disinvested communities get assistance from the city. And so there are these 7 zones, include the far south side, south of 87th Street, the south side, west side, and each of these zones will get the potential to have 7 dispensaries as of January 1st. And then about halfway through the year, another 7 will be licenses will potentially be opened up. So you're talking by the end of next year, up to 49 dispensaries. Now, whether they're going to be able to find 49 responsible business owners who can meet all the state requirements, who can pay the exorbitant license fees to the state, upwards of 6 figures just to get in the door, we don't know. But the potential will be that there could be up to about 50 dispensaries kind of sprinkled throughout the city by the end of next year.
We've come a long way, and it sounds like we still got a ways to go to figure all this out. But anyway, the process is on here. Stu Weiss, attorney for the law firm of Holland and Knight, and serving as the village attorney, general counsel for a bunch of city and villages, joining us on WGN. Last question, Stu. What village have you dealt with that's the most opposed to this?
Well, you know, there have been a number of my communities who have said that this is not something that we want to have we want to have the businesses, but I haven't had any community ask me, can we stop people from smoking marijuana? I think everybody realizes that times are changing and that, you know, now it's a matter of personal choice.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of communities that are looking to ban it, but we'll see what happens when the tax revenue starts coming in.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet that might change some people's opinions. Hey, Stu, appreciate you taking time tonight. Enjoyed the conversation. And as this continues to unfold, look forward to having you on down the line.
Great talking to you.
That is Stu Weiss. This is Reactions. Love to hear your thoughts on this. Do you want it in your community? 312-981-7200. It's 720 WGN.